Chapter 13. Bo Yan. "He gave us nothing," Lei grumbled as he steered the car onto the Jingha Expressway. The concierge's brief but intense 15-minute interrogation had yielded no new leads concerning Tang Shishi's whereabouts. Lei had meticulously probed for any scrap of information that might hint at her possible hideouts or connections, but it was in vain. The only information the concierge could provide concerned her usual comings and goings into the apartment complex during his shifts. Irrelevant news, considering Lei and Jack were already aware of this part of her daily schedule, thanks to the camera footage tracking the entrance of her building. Other than that, nothing. No information about any friends or visitors, no habits or requests she put forward to the front desk while she lived in the studio. With the city's surveillance system now primed to flag any sighting of Tang Shishi immediately, they had done what they could in Beijing for the moment and were racing to Beidaiha to confront Dr. Bo. For the first hour on the expressway, Lei and Jack were enveloped in a heavy silence, each man entrenched in his thoughts. Lei's eyes scanned the road ahead, hoping to make good on time, while Jack sat immersed in contemplation, gazing out at the fleeting landscape. Breaking the quiet, Jack voiced a thought that had been weighing on his mind. "Lei, you know that I will have to report all of this back to my superiors, and that I will also keep them in the loop regarding any new development." "I assumed as much, yes?" Jack paused, formulating his next question. "Secretary Liu must have also assumed as much. Why then is he keeping me, an American, on the case if he thinks this is so confidential that even your chief needs to be cut out?" Lei pondered Jack's question. For a good 10 seconds, Lei remained silent, his eyes focused on the road ahead. Finally, he answered, "I'm not sure, Jack, but we made incredible progress in the short time since we've been on this case together. Our setbacks with the Ba Jiahui and Tong Shishi's narrow escape were minor if you consider them objectively. When you arrived, we had a senior American embassy official dead and had no inkling about the killer's identity or motives. We were grappling in the dark. Here we are just 2 days later, and we've pieced together both. It's quite remarkable, really." Jack listened, his gaze shifting from the passing scenery to Lei with his hands firm on the wheel, his posture upright. Lei continued, "You brought a fresh perspective, Jack. Your personal motivation and your connection to Mr. Mahoney have been valuable. Secretary Liu seems to acknowledge this. He sees the benefit of your unique position as an outsider and the drive it brought to our investigation. Plus, I think Liu doesn't want to disrupt a deeply invested team in the case," he added, glancing briefly at Jack. "Your involvement brings an edge to our approach, one that's rooted in something more than just duty. It's personal for you, and that changes things, makes them more urgent." Jack nodded. Lei's eyes returned to the road as he switched lanes. "Besides, there might be one more aspect to it," he pointed out. "This case, it's now convoluted with international complexities. Having China and the U.S. aware of the eventuality that someone might unlock Liang Wei's fortune might make it easier to contain any negative impact it could have on our financial markets. With you on the case and your embassy in the loop, I assume a swift and aligned reaction to such an event will be more likely. I think Secretary Liu sees that too and wants to be prepared."
"You might be right," Jack said. Miles unfurled with only the sound of their car for company. Finally, Jack broke the silence again. "Lei, what happened to Liang Wei? He was the face of Paymo, right? I remember bits and pieces from the news, but never pieced them together."
Lei's gaze lingered on his partner for a moment, a sigh escaping him before he returned his attention to the road. "I'm not sure, Jack. I can only tell you what was visible to everyone back then. Liang Wei was not only Paymo's founder and CEO, but also a prominent voice on Weibo. He used the platform to mostly comment on technical and engineering topics, but at some point he got into a heated exchange with government members. It seemed to be personal for him at this stage."
"What did they argue about?"
"It was the Bank of China's announcement to introduce a central bank digital currency that started it," Lei explained. "Liang Wei argued against it,
Armed with his reputation as an expert in digital payment systems, he did so publicly on Weibo. His initial arguments were limited to the technical aspects of it, dissecting potential points of failures and how implementing CBDCs could cause chaos if not all bugs were ironed out at the start. The Bank of China and the government pushed back. They dismissed his concerns as self-serving, fearing competition against his own services. This did not sit well with him. After that, his tone changed. He started to critique the CBDC as a dystopian tool for financial surveillance. He wrote about how, even as a loyal member of the party, he was not blind to the dangers it would mean to every Chinese person. He began to argue that such a system would violate the very concept of Kong Zhe's Li. In his last posts, he outlined that once a CBDC is implemented, it would mean the government's absolute control over everyone's personal finances. He warned that such control would finalize the party's absolute dominance, eroding the societal fabric of trust and harmony between the rulers and the people that has bound our culture together for millennia. Then, just as his voice grew louder, he disappeared.
That happens all too often in China, doesn't it? Jack's voice was gentle. Lei's grip on the steering wheel tightened visibly. Too often, he acknowledged.
He was silenced then. Lei glanced at the Mencius figurine gently swinging back and forth beneath the rearview mirror.
It seems so, he said quietly.
Lei, they murdered him, harvested his organs.
What would you have me do, Jack? Lei's response was a mixture of resignation and anger.
Speculating on Liang Wei's fate does not bring him back. If he suffered injustice, I could not tell you who was responsible for it. The party's inner workings are a labyrinth of factions rivaling local leaders and power plays. Understanding at what level or why the order was given is a fool's errand. I must not condone every decision made by our leaders, but it is not my place to question what happened to Liang Wei years ago. My focus must be on our mission, stopping Tong Xixi before more lives are lost. That I can influence.
Jack couldn't help but think how Nick was among those to blame for Liang Wei's end by paying for his organ transplant. He sensed the futility of pushing further, seeing Lei's resolve mixed with frustration. They drove the next half hour in silence. When they exited the expressway towards Beidaiha Beach, Lei asked Jack to reach into the suitcase wedged between their seats.
In it is the debrief folder on Dr. Bo, Lei said. Our research team at the department compiled everything we know about him while we were interviewing the concierge. It might give us a better understanding of who we're dealing with.
Jack opened the folder. The first page provided an executive summary of Dr. Bo's career. A remarkable surgeon by any standard, with a long history of successful operations. But nothing in his career indicated anything out of the ordinary.
Lei glanced at Jack. Anything new?
Jack scratched his head while flipping through the remaining pages.
Not really, but it confirms our previous look at his profile. A well-respected transplant surgeon with a career by the books. That is, until his sudden early retirement in luxury when he moved into his beachfront villa in Beidaiha. And not just any villa. Lei, this place is enormous.
Jack studied the provided aerial photographs that showed the sprawling estate.
Lei nodded. As suspected, there is no way he could have afforded this on his surgeon's salary. Something's off.
Jack continued scanning the dossier.
Looks like you're right. I see no larger inflows or transactions in his bank accounts that could explain how he paid for all this. Other than that, it's a quite mundane profile. Says here that he's single. Seems to lead a quiet life in retirement. Nothing noteworthy, really, other than that he seems to enjoy life. He has quite some expenses every month for going out to eat, attending shows, and buying art. There is no good camera coverage for his area, but a WeChat Pay transaction for a delivery scheduled for the next hour indicates that he is presently at the villa. He looked up, meeting Lei's eyes. This could be our chance.
Yes, but we have to approach this carefully. He's likely to know the names of the transplant recipients. That's crucial information for us. However, we can't let him suspect their connection to Liang Wei's fortune. If he senses the magnitude of what's at stake, he might clam up, or worse, decide to go after it himself.
Jack considered this, tapping a finger against the debrief folder. Agreed. We need to be tactical about how much we reveal. If we play it right, he might inadvertently give us the information we need without realizing its significance. The conversation shifted to strategizing their approach for the meeting with Dr. Bowe. As Jack and Lei's car rolled into Beidaiha, the change in scenery was palpable. The town, nestled by the Bohai Sea, stood in stark contrast to the Beijing sprawl they had left behind. Known for its postcard beaches, Beidaiha had long been a favored retreat for those looking to escape the relentless pace of city life. Its charm lay not just in its natural beauty, but in the exclusivity surrounding it. The town had a history of serving as a summer haven for the country's elite, with the CCP frequently using its serene backdrop for their gatherings, drawing a veil of political significance over the town. Lei and Jack stopped in front of the imposing gates of Dr. Bo's villa. Jack gazed at the structure before them, a low whistle escaping his lips. Would you just look at this? The villa, as viewed from the main gate, was an architectural marvel. It was a jigsaw of cubic segments, masterfully arranged, with some parts seeming to defy gravity. The modern design, with its clean lines and white facade, stood in a sharp but pleasant contrast to the soft features of the house's well-kept greenery. A sleek, dark stone pathway led to the villa's grand entrance. "It's quite something," Lei agreed. "Let's find out how he managed to pay for it." He reached for the bell at the gate. A voice crackled through the intercom.
Yes?
This is Officer Zheng from the Beijing Police Department. I'm here with my colleague, Mr. Decker. We are here to talk to Dr. Bowe. Lei held up his badge for the camera to see. There was a moment of silence before the voice returned.
From Beijing?
Yes, would you kindly let us in? The gate emitted a low buzz, signaling their granted access. Jack and Lei proceeded down the elegantly laid pathway. A man was waiting for them at the door, his appearance projecting a mix of curiosity and mild consternation. He was dressed in comfortable leisure clothes and had a somewhat stout figure with thinning hair. His face bore the gentle creases of age, softened by a life seemingly free from the daily stresses of a demanding career. His eyes, sharp and assessing, flitted between the two visitors, trying to gauge the purpose of their unexpected arrival. Despite his relaxed attire, there was an air of cautious intelligence about him, as though his mind was constantly evaluating and calculating.
"Officer Zheng, Mr. Decker, welcome,"
Dr. Bo greeted them, his voice smooth and composed.
"Please come in."
With a practiced air of hospitality, he welcomed Jack and Lei, ushering them into his villa. The interior of the house matched the exterior's modern elegance. As they followed Bo Yan through the entrance, they were drawn to a striking piece of sculpture standing 7 feet tall and occupying the middle of the hallway. It was an intricate, abstract bronze torso with swirls and spikes covering its surface, some bending downwards to the ground. Dr. Bo noticed their fascination.
"Ah, you appreciate art?"
he asked, a hint of pride in his voice.
"That's a piece by Luo Rong, an upcoming contemporary artist from Hangzhou. It represents the dynamic nature of life, the interplay of chaos and order."
As Jack and Lei followed him into the living room, their attention was momentarily captured by the television screen. Running on it was an episode of Miami Vice, an unexpected sight in the villa's otherwise distinctly modern and upscale ambiance. Bo Yan noticed Jack's raised eyebrows.
"My guilty pleasure, I must admit. American TV shows from the 1980s have always fascinated me. So much color, so much expression. You are American, are you not, Mr. Decker?"
Without waiting for Jack's answer, he guided them through the room.
"Please, let us go into the garden. There we can talk."
As Jack and Lei followed Dr. Bo through the villa, they stepped into his garden, a well-crafted haven of tranquility and natural beauty. The garden sprawled expansively, its lush manicured grass forming a soft carpet underfoot. Flowering plants in vibrant hues of blues, pinks, and yellows bordered the walkways. Old trees stood sentinel throughout the space, their branches offering shade and a sense of seclusion. The garden was encircled by a wall, covered in creeping ivy and flowering vines. Situated atop a slight hill, the estate commanded a breathtaking view. The hill's gentle slope led their eyes towards the bay, where the blue waters met the sandy beach. Beyond lay the vast expanse of the ocean, its surface shimmering under the sun. Bo Yan gestured at lounge chairs facing the ocean view. "Please, sit." As Jack and Lei settled on the comfortable outdoor furniture, Jack couldn't resist commenting, "This is quite the place you have, Dr. Bo." The surgeon offered a modest smile. "Thank you, Mr. Decker. It's my little piece of paradise." He gestured to a bar at the corner of the terrace. "Would you like something to drink?" When they politely declined, Bo Yan grabbed a drink and joined them in one of the chairs. "Very well. What can I do for you, Officer Jung? Or for your companion?" Lei jumped straight to the point, his tone respectful yet firm. "Dr. Bo, there's something I need to understand. How could you afford all this on a surgeon's salary in Kuala?" His question, though direct, was posed with a hint of curiosity rather than accusation, setting the tone for a candid discussion. "I've been fortunate in my investment decisions," he commented as he put his glass on the table before him. "I don't think so, Dr. Bo. We've examined your financial history. While there's no evidence of illegal activities, your past income doesn't justify this level of affluence. I'm quite certain a more thorough investigation would unveil some uncomfortable truths." Dr. Bo's face shifted slightly. He straightened in his chair, his voice now carrying a note of defiance. "I do not have to justify myself to you. I've done nothing wrong. I believe it's time for you to leave." Lei leaned forward. "We're not in one of your favorite American shows, Dr. Bo. We operate under direct MSS order. If we leave, you'll be accompanying us." Dr. Bo fell silent. "We know about Liang Wei, Dr. Bo," Jack interjected. The mere mention of the tycoon's name seemed to ripple through the doctor, altering his demeanor. Dr. Bo's posture sagged ever so slightly, a sign Jack had touched upon a sensitive chord.
"You mean the telecommunications magnate? What about him?"
Dr. Bo's voice wavered.
"We're aware of his death. More importantly, we understand you played a crucial role in his final hours and that a significant reward was involved for your services," Lei said, masking their lack of concrete evidence with confidence. The effect was immediate. Dr. Bo's face paled.
"No, it wasn't like that," he stammered. "I only removed his organs for transplantation as instructed. I wasn't the one who decided his fate. My job was to ensure his death wasn't in vain. It was just another procedure."
Jack, seizing the opportunity, pressed further. "Yet, following this routine procedure, you abruptly left your position and settled in this luxurious villa. A bit too coincidental, don't you think?"
"And who funds this lifestyle, Dr. Bo?"
Lei pushed for a confession. Dr. Bo's silence spoke volumes, his face a canvas of conflicting emotions. His eyes darted between Lei and Jack, weighing his options. Lei continued, his tone softer but insistent.
"Doctor, our investigation uncovered a hidden message within the transplanted organs. Something was altered in them."
Dr. Bo's confusion was evident.
"A message? Where? How?"
"The specifics aren't your concern," Lei said. "What matters is the value of what you or someone else embedded as a message within those organs. Something significant enough for Liang Wei to ensure its preservation."
The surgeon's confusion was palpable.
"A message? I don't know what you're talking about. All I did was inject each organ with a tiny syringe before transplantation. I had no idea what was in them. I was reassured that it would not be anything that would compromise the functionality of the organs."
"And for this task, you were compensated generously?"
"Yes. The agreement was that I'd receive this villa with enough funds for its upkeep for decades."
"Was this arrangement made by Liang Wei himself?" Lei prodded further.
Dr. Bo hesitated before responding.
"I have only met Mr. Liang once, on the day of the surgery. But days before the procedure, I was visited by someone who claimed to be acting on his behalf. I never questioned that he was operating under Liang Wei's directive. After all, Mr. Liang was a very influential man. And during the operation..."
Jack cut in.
"You mean during his execution?" Dr. Bo winced at the term.
remember, I was just the head surgeon. I didn't make the call to end his life.
Go on, urged Lei. Dr. Bo looked distant, recalling the events.
During the operation, Liang Wei, he looked me in the eye right before the surgery. He was very calm and told me I knew what to do. I am sure he was behind the arrangement, so I did my part. His organs saved 6 lives, you know. After the surgery, I was handed the deed to this villa, and there was a suitcase with gold coins waiting for me. From time to time, I sell some of it for the upkeep.
Who was the person who arranged all this? Lei asked. Dr. Bo shrugged.
I have never learned his name. I never asked. Why would I?
Lei and Jack exchanged a glance, processing this new information. Lei's gaze returned to Dr. Bo. Do you remember the recipients of the organs?
Yes, Dr. Bo nodded. As the head surgeon, I oversaw the entire process. Each organ had a designated surgical team. The list was quite specific.
Lei pressed on. Could you tell us their names? Dr. Bo paused, sorting through his memories.
There was Miss Zhao Juan, a businesswoman from Shanghai. There was an American, Mr. Nicholas Mahoney.
His eyes flickered to Jack.
That was unusual, but I assumed he paid well. The third was the former governor of Beijing's Fengtai district, Huang Jian, and...
The surgeon's face suddenly slumped forward with a thud, his head crashing into his cocktail glass. Blood-covered shards scattered across the table. Jack's eyes stretched wide, his mind momentarily paralyzed. Lei reacted instantly. He reached out, gripped Jack's arm, and pulled him down to the ground behind their chairs.
What the...
Jack's voice was a mix of shock and confusion, his brain struggling to process the sudden shift from calm to catastrophe.
Stay down, Lei commanded.
Still grappling with the shock, Jack tried to form words, but Lei was already a step ahead.
Sniper, he uttered under his breath, his eyes scanning the garden. It came from there.
Lei gestured toward the distant wall bordering the estate. His gaze locked onto it, every muscle tensed and ready. His mind raced through scenarios, angles, and possibilities. The sudden roar of an engine from behind the wall broke the tense silence. Tires screeched against the pavement. Lei sprang into action. He darted towards the wall, drawing his gun during the sprint. Jack, caught in the wake of Lei's determination, hurried after him, his breath ragged with exertion. Lei reached the wall first and effortlessly cleared it. As he landed on the other side, he raised his gun, aiming at the fading silhouette of a black car that disappeared around a corner. It was too late. The shooter was gone. Cursing, he put away his gun. Jack called from the other side of the wall.
Lei?
Lei turned.
They're gone, Jack. I'm coming back over.